We'll start where the rabbi left off last night, and it is where it says Ketzat Osa Betzal Es Aaron. It's sort of the middle of the little Torah, a little below the middle of the Yud Tazayin Amud Beis. Ketzat Osa Betzal Es Aaron. How did Betzal make the Aaron? Okay. All right, so Rashi Chumash gives the answer, and the Gemara will quote that as one opinion here. Okay, what did we do? So Rabbi Chananya is the Gersa here. Rabbi Chanina Amar Sholosh Tevas Asa. He made three separate boxes. Shtayim Shel Zav. Two of them were gold. V'achas Shel Eitz. And one of them was wood. Nosan shall zov b'shal eitz. He put one of the smaller golden one. He put it inserted into the wooden one. B'shal eitz, he put it into a golden one, right? So it was gold inside and out, and inside was the wood. V'tzipeyu, and then he covered the rim, right? Well, okay. Then he covered the entire box. Okay. The rim was covered with gold. That's correct.
It was the smaller gold box sort of like had a lip. No?
Right. So there was a gold had to cover up that lip. No, in other words, I know what you mean.
To cover the wood.
You had to be a place for the kapirish to go on top. Yeah. Right, so it wasn't completely, the inner one wasn't completely up, mechuvin to connect the wood. Because you had to have a place for the kapirish to go on it.
But the wood was covered by a lip.
A lip. Right, that's what Gemara is going to say. Gemara is going to actually say this right now. Now, v'tzapisa oisai zovtar, mibayis umibachutz, right? You're basically covering the inner and outer, of the aron with gold. So, matamad loimer tzapenu. So what do you need the extra pasuk that says v'tzapenu? You should cover it. You're already covering it with gold. So this, the answer is, like you're saying, Yudi. Svasoi hoel yoina, lahavi svasoi yoina, the upper rim that basically has not been covered, that covers that, you now put a layer of gold over there.
Is there any reason why he couldn't just make one box out of gold? Why you need three?
I'm sure there's a good reason for that. Not that I know it. What's that?
Gold is a soft material. You need wood to give it a firmness.
Depends how you make the gold, right? All right. Okay. This is their old Ramazan. These are the Ramazan for all these interesting things. And then Pashas Truma, you can look at the Mefarshim over there. They go in to explain. Rashi goes with this pshat, by the way. Rashi accepts this pshat. But there's another pshat, and over here is Rav Shimon Lakish. What does Rav Lakish say? He says Teva Achas Aso. It really was one box, one teva. Vitzipo, like you're saying, Arabi. Vitzipo, and he covered it with gold. Dichsi, vitzapisa, oisais after. It wasn't three. Okay. And as I say, there are important distinctions here. There are reasons why one says three and one says one. The Mefarshim talk about it. Now, Vitzi pisa oisai zov tar mi bayis umi bachutz. So now, according to him, it's a little schwer. What do you need tzapenu for? Because when you're making it originally out of gold, right? You're making it out of wood. But I'm saying you're making it out of wood, but you're laying over the entire wood with gold. So now the rim is covered already. So what do you need the extra pasuk for? Before we needed to cover the rim, but we don't need it now. So that's the worst kasha now. So now the tzapenu dechsiv, right? What is it? What is it coming to tell you? Matamad lamit tzapenu. Amar Rebbe Pinchas lahavi beineser leneser. Sometimes between the staves of wood, the actual pieces of wood that you use to construct the box, there was perhaps a little air space that needed to be covered with gold. That's the chiddush. Lhavi beineser leneser. Okay. All right, we're finished with the Arin. Now we're going to discuss the luchos themselves, which is very interesting. Ketzer hoyo haluchos ksuvim. How were the luchos written? Okay, these are the luchos shniyas that we had that were intact in the Arin. So, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, like we understand Pashut, there were two luchos. More later we'll explain, the luchos were 6 by 3 by 3. 6 tvachim length, and then by 3 the width, and the thickness of 3. I'm going to use this later because you're going to see. So basically, picture the luchos were like this box. You know, this was 6, this was this, this was 3, and this was 3. I say that because later on you'll see the cheshbon.
Did you say 6 by 6 before?
No. In the Merkaz L'Inyon Echinuch, remember years ago, they had them cubed. No, we didn't say they're 6 by 6. We say they're 6 by 3 by 3. That's what we said before.
6 by 6 is 2 of them together.
6 by 6 is 2 of them together. That's right. That's right. This is 6 tvachim, the length, right? And the width is 3.
It's like the you're little. One on top of the other, you're saying?
Yeah, one on top of the other would be a square, yeah. That's right. Now, so what do we have? So he says like this, Chamisha al luach seh, v'chamisha al luach seh. On one luach you had 5 dibros, like we have here, right here. You have 5 dibros on one, and you have another 5. Now, it didn't come with like a round top. I know, that's Galileo, I think. No, that's a Michelangelo. Michelangelo made luchos, right? So I think they copied mostly from that. Because the Gemara doesn't say it was round on top. The Gemara says it was square. It was a rectangle. Okay.
He might have had access to it.
Huh?
He might have had access to it in the Sistine Chapel.
I wouldn't go that far. No, Yoshio buried it. He was going to see it. He was going to see it. So I mean, they. No, as I say, they copy Michelangelo.
David
Jacobs. Okay, let's go by it. David Jacobs. Okay, let's go by that. So anyhow, they had 5 on one luach and 5 on the other luach. Okay. And that's Ha'odu Dechsiv, and this is a Pashup Chat in the Pasuk who says, V'yichteveim al shnei luchais avanim. He wrote the series of Dibras on 2 luchais avanim. Chamisha luach seh, v'chamisha luach seh. Okay, that's the Shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Now we have the Shid Rabbanan.
Vayichtavim is Moshe this time.
What's that?
Vayichtavim is Moshe by the same.
Yeah. Actually, Moshe, the Pasuk says, Moshe carved out the Luchos. Moshe did it, and Hashem wrote on it.
Even the second ones.
Yeah. Hashem wrote on it. That's what the Sefer Pasuk says there. Because that's the Sefer Pasuk. Okay, now, Rabbon and Amre, Rabbon say different. Asura al-Luach Zeh, the Asura al-Luach Zeh. Each Luach had 10 Dibros. 20 altogether. So each Luach had the Aseres of Dibros. Okay. Ahoduch Siv, and where's the remez for that? Because it says, Vayageid Lochem, right? Vayageid Lochem, Es Brisi, Asher Tziva Eschem, Lasois, Aseres HaDvarim. So this pasuk is mashma that, this is like an extra pasuk, and it's trying to say that the Aseres HaDvarim was on each Luach. Asora al Luach Zeh, Asora al Luach Zeh. Okay, that's the second cheetah now. Now, Rav Shimon Yochai goes further. And he says, Esrim al Luach Zeh, the Esrim al Luach Zeh. Each Luach, on the front, it had the Aseres HaDvarim up and bottom. Either the Luach was written on both sides. In other words, here's a luach. So there was 10 here and 10 here. Okay? So there's Esther Maluach Zeb, Esther Maluach Zeb. Altogether, 40. Right. And now we have another shita here. Reb Simoy. This is interesting now. Reb Simoy says there were 40 Aluach Zeb, 40 Aluach Zeb. And the reason he gets that is, as I say, look at this. You can write these, they could write all the Aseres Dibros here, and you could also write it here. There's enough room to write it here. So you wrote it on four sides of the luach. 1, 2, 3, 4. But you couldn't write it over here, it's too small. It's just 3 by 3. This was too small. But this area was bigger. So you could have actually four. It was four and ten Aseres Dibros, so that's 40. 40 on each luach. Okay, good. And he says, our boy mal luach zev, yeah, boy mal luach zev, dechsi, umizeh heim ksuvim, they're written on all four sides going around. And the word is tetruga. That means four in Greek. Tetragam is the Shem Mefarish. Usually referred to sometimes as a tetragam. Four sides. Yeah, that's why that tetruga. The same word,
Octagon
is eight. Right. Octagon is eight. That's right. Right. Okay. Good. Let's go by there. Yeah. Okay. Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Aimer. This is interesting now. Called Dibur v'Dibur. I'm sorry. Ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. This is Rabbi Hananya, the son of the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua. Kitzur.
So how do you explain that the Samach was
still? Yeah, the Samach was
written on all four sides.
Right. I don't know if this agrees with. Yeah, it doesn't seem to agree with that. Shita, right. Very often, there's differences between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Very often. Okay, so anyhow, Hananya, the son of the brother of Yeshua, says, "Bein kol dibur v'dibur diktu keha v'os yosel shal Torah." Very interesting. That means there was space between each dibur. Let's learn it pashut. There were five dibros on one and five dibros on the other, but there was space between each dibur, and in that space they would actually write. One cheetah says all the mitzvahs that are pertaining to that dibra, because according to Upside Yagon, and she writes it in a sefer. Some people read it on Shuas, that he has all taryag mitzvahs are shaykh to the dibras, and he shows you how all the mitzvahs that are shaykh to each dibra. It's a fascinating thing. I mean, I know he does it, but he does it.
How is it physically possible?
Yes. Yeah, so how is it physically possible to write? To write the entire, you get like a Jacobson cipher.
Even that is not small enough.
Well, the whole cipher is, going through and through. Unless
you say he didn't write actually the whole Torah, we just write the mitzvah. So mitzvah, you could probably get it in there. If you write some, the command, the mitzvah, tefillin, tzitzis, however you would put it. Okay, yeah, good question. Unless, good question.
Instructions for building a human being are located in a nucleus of an invisible cell.
That's right. Hmm. Right. There's no question about it. The instructions for creating a human being are in the nucleus of a cell, a single cell.
Those are the chemical instructions.
Exactly.
That's the order of chemistry. It's not writing.
It's another way of writing, right? It's another way of writing.
But here you're talking about a very limited.
All right. What can I tell you? Good question. Weiter. Then he says like this, and he brings it right from the pasuk. It says, "Memulayim b'tarshish." Okay, that means it's filled with the how do you touch that? Memulayim b'tarshish, filled in the manner of Tarshish. What is the manner of Tarshish? Tarshish is referred to as a sea, kiyama rabo, like the great sea. Tarshish is also a word that refers to the the sea. Like it says over there, he went to Tarshisha, right?
By Yaina,
Tarshisha. He went to the ocean, Kitsa. So Kiyama Rabba, like the Great Sea. The Great Sea is the Mediterranean Sea. Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Karavimati, Hadein. This is Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Okay. When he came to this pasuk. This is the pasuk. So the pasuk is Memulayim Tarsh, the Tarshish. So he read it, Karya have Omar Yafa Lamdeni Chananya ben Ochi Rabbi Yeshua. It's like a good shot. Maha Yom Hazeh Bengal Vagal got between each wave in the sea. Mahayam hazeh bein gal godol le gal godol galim ketanim. In other words, between the big wave, there's you know, you go to the surface, they go these big, you know, big monster waves when they go surfing, right? So between each monster wave, there's a bunch of little waves, bunch of little galim. So that's why that's the moshul to the Torah of the Luchais with the dibros and the little mitzvahs that are mentioned in the middle. That's what he's saying. Right. So that's, yes. Kach ben kol dibber ve dibber is dig the kehav ve ois yosel so Torah. Amar Rav Tanchuma akshiste kumi Rav Chia Rav Pinchas. I asked the kasha of Pinchas. What did he ask him? He said it, yes. Lechaira, this pasuk is going, the following pasuk that we're going to mention right now, goes like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and does not go like the shita of Rabbi Meir. We have before a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and the dimensions of the Oren. Reb Meir said the tefach is the amma is 6 tefachim, and therefore he had room in the inside of the orain for a small sefer Torah. He had a tefach space there, tefach and a half. Yeah, he had space there. Two amas, two tefachim. He had space for a small sefer Torah. Jacob's from sefer Torah. Amish. Okay. Now. But that was the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir held the Amas Kalim was an Amma of five.
Rabbi Meir had the world bigger.
Rabbi Yehuda had 15 Amas, the Gemara said, right? Fifteen Tvachim.
No, Rabbi Meir had 15 Tvachim and Rabbi Yehuda had 12. And a half.
Rabbi Yehuda had 12 and a half.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yehuda had 12 and a half, but Rabbi Yehuda, right. Rabbi Meir, that's right. Rabbi Meir said the Avi Amma was five tvachim. So you had the two luchas. But every Amma was five tvachim according to. Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Meir said it was six tvachim. That's right. So good. So it's good according, what did you want to say on the other side? He wants to say like this. He says, it works out like Rabbi Yehuda, but it doesn't work out like Rabbi Meir. The following pasuk. Because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so it was 12 and a half, right?
Yeah.
And you didn't have room for a Sefer Torah inside. So you had a little shelf on the side. You had a daf on the side, and that's where the Sefer Torah was. That's Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, you had room in the Aron itself for a Sefer Torah. Good. So now this pasuk is going to be mashma like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Meir. Dichsiv. Because the pasuk says, Lo koyach es Sefer HaTorah hazeh, v'samtem oisai mitzad Aron bris Hashem. Again. So he says, you take the Sefer Torah and you put it inside, on the side of the Aron Bris Hashem. Now on the side, that's mashma like Rabbi Yehuda. Like the little daf on the side. Yeah. So he says, Al daita de Rabbi Yehuda, du Amar, you're going to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to say, Heichon have a Sefer Torah nosim, where was the Sefer Torah put? Kimin galuskili osay lamir b'chotz, a little box, a daf, originally it was a daf, then later it became a box, a little box on the side of the orange. So that's good. V'yasefer Torah nosim b'saychay. Now, that's good. But my time at the Rav Meir, but how are you going to learn according to Rav Meir? The Pasuk says, Vinosat esaka papyrus alho oran milamalo. You put the papyrus on the oran on top, and into the oran you're going to place the edus asher etain elecha. Okay, now, again, how are we going to learn this Pasuk? Again, what is it saying? It's saying, Vinosat esaka papyrus alho oran milamalo. Milamalo the el orain titin es oedis. Now the pasuk is not in the proper order, because it should say first you put the orin, you should put the edus into the orin, and then you put the top on the orin, right? Yes or no? Okay. So the pasuk is not really in the proper order. So now he's going to say like this.
This
pasuk is good according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that the Oren was actually on the side. So therefore you can put the, you put the Sefer Torah on the side. So you learn, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you learn the pasuk like this. You put the Luchas in the Oren first, then you're gonna put on the Kapiris, and then you're gonna put the Edus, which will be the Sefer Torah, on the side. That fits in. Everything fits in. The psukim fit in good, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, but you know, I thought the edus was the luchos.
Well, edus can go either way. It can go either way. It can go luchos or it can go Torah. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out good. The luchos were put in the aron first, and then the Torah says put on the top, the kapiris, and then the edus on the side. The edus being the Sefer Torah. That would work out. But according to Rabbi Meir, how are you going to say it? You're going to have to say, you put the kaparis on the oren where you had already put the luchos. Right? You're saying, eimuk de mukha b'tara, basically. And that's what the Gemara is saying. According to Reb Meir, you're going to have to come out to say, do Omar, eimuk de mukha b'tara. Elo, the elo oren titein eso edus, asher, in the oren you're going to put the edus, Asher etein elecha v'achakach v'nosat esakapiris al oran milamala. All right, that's why you're going to say it. Reb Pinchas b'shem Shimon Lakish, he says haTorah shenosna Kodesh Baruch Hu leMoshe nosna loy eish levana. It was a white fire, charusa be'eish shechora, which was engraved with a black fire. Okay. Eish levona charusa be'eish shechayra. I think he touches that. Yeah, the black on the white. Yeah, that's usually what. Yeah, the black would be the lettering on the white, being the cloth, so to speak. Now, he eish, the Torah itself is eish, muvleles be'eish, it's mixed with fire, chatsuva me'eish, it's hewn from fire, unusuna me'eish, and it's given from fire. Dechsev miyaminai eish dos lomai. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand comes the Torah. Zog the Mishnah weiter. Zog the Mishnah. Heichan hoyu ashulchanoi so eila. Where were the, in the shachavoyis. Where were the ishtachavoyis made? They made 13 ishtachavoyis, the Mishnah said before. So now the Mishnah is going to say exactly where, if you remember the diagram of the Beis HaMikdash, it helps here. You remember generally where, you know, how things were situated there. Of course, you know, there was the Azara, the Ezra's Noshim, then you went to Ezra's Yisrael, there was Mizbeach there, and then you go further in, you came to the Ulam, and then there was the Heichal, and in the Heichal, of course, you had the Kalim, to the right you had the Shulchan, and to the left there was the Menorah, and you go further in 40 Amos, you come to the Kachikachim where the Oren was. That's basically, you know, the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, where were the Hashtachavoyis made? Arba mitzafoin, there were four four ishtachavos in the on the northern side. The northern side, as you're walking in the Beis Mikdash, is on your right. V'arba b'dorim, and four on the left. Sholosh b'mizrach, three on the eastern wall, near the eastern wall. And Beis b'marav, and two on the marav side, which is in the back of the Kochi Kochim. Keneged, now he's saying you what it's keneged. Keneged shloisha osar sh'orim. There were 13 gates. And if you look at the chart of the Beis HaMikdash, and that chart is really, I don't know, it's in the art scroll, yeah, okay. There's a picture in the art scroll. If you have an art scroll, that's, you'll see he shows you all the gates. It's page 17A2, yeah. The art scroll has a picture of it. But you should be pretty familiar with the general idea anyhow. But just gotta know that there were actually gates over, there were actually sh'arim, there were openings, doorways, and in those doorways is really where you had to make the ishtachavah. Yeah. Any ishtachavah, you know, Pesach. Okay. Now he says like this. He says, Arba b'tzofen, Arba b'dorim. Okay, we said this. Now, Shlosha Osir Sharim Dromiyim, the ones on the southern wall. So he said like this. Smuchim Lamarav, the one that was closest to the western side of the Beis HaMikdash, was called the Shar HaElyon. Why was that called the Shar HaElyon? Very simple. Because if you ever see the pictures, the Beis HaMikdash went up in an incline. You came in like this from the east, and you constantly were in an incline going higher and higher and higher, so the Kochi Kochim was right over here at the highest point. So the Shar HaElyon was at the highest point in the hill. That's why it's called Shar HaElyon. It's closest to the west. The further west you went, the higher you went. So therefore, the one all the way in the west, that was called the Shar HaElyon. Okay. And then next to that was the Shar HaDelek. Shar HaDelek is where they kept the fire. Shar HaBechayros, they kept the Bechayros there, the Karbonos. Shar HaMayim. Shar HaMayim.
Are these on the left side or on the left?
Either well, on the side.
As you're walking from the east toward the west.
Shar HaElyon.
So that would be
well, this is 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the bottom.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. The Dorim is the left.
Going from west to east.
The Dorim is left. Dorim is left. As you're walking east to west, going that way, right? You're walking toward the Kochi Kochim. To your left will be the south.
Right. So we're saying the Mishnah gave it in order moving from west to east.
Okay. He's saying
Shar HaElyon is westernmost.
Shar HaElyon is the highest point.
Is the westernmost. The next one.
The westernmost is correct.
Right.
You're going west east. That's correct. Right. That's right. He's moving down. That's 100% correct.
12 and 13 are highest.
Yeah. Okay. So again, you want to see the picture?
According to the picture,
the highest will be number one. That's the show. Upper gate? Maybe it goes down already. It slopes down the other side. But that's Shar HaElyon. This is called Shar HaElyon. Look at one. See this upper gate? Look. Ellie, see the upper gate? The one is the upper gate. Again, I can't tell you. Five is the gate of Yechonia, but all right. But anyway, that's why it's called Shar HaElyon. Baita. Now, Shar HaMayim, Loma Nikrashmoy Shar HaMayim, Shaboy Machnisim Tzluchis Shal Nisach HaMayim. That when they, on Tzluchis you had to pour water, so there was, that was where the water was stored and came from there. Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov Omer, Boy HaMayim Mefachim, Fakim, this is where the water trickles. What does that mean? This is already a very interesting idea that we're going to have in Asad Lavai. There will be a new source of water emanating from the Beis HaMikdash, and it's going to have medicinal medicinal characteristics. It's going to be a very fascinating kind of water that we're going to talk about. Okay. So he says, Vasidim liyos yotzim mitachas miftan habayis, and the water will eventually come out from underneath the threshold of the Beis HaMikdosh, and it will proceed outside into Yerushalayim. The more going to talk about it. Now the Mishnah continues. Now we were talking about the Sharim on the southern side. Now we're going to say opposite that, on the northern side, how are they situated? Lumosan b'tzofen, smuchen b'marev, those, the gate that was close to the westerly side was the Shar Yechonia. That was the Shar that Yechonia left when he went to Golus. Shar Korban, kept Korbanus there. Shar Anoshim, the women kept the birds and so forth that they had to offer when they needed it. If a person would walk by that Shar, he would have to bow down. Shar and Shar Hashir, Paloma, yeah, okay. Now, well, what is the Shar Hashir? They kept the instruments there. Now, Lama Nikra Shmai Shar Yechonia, he says, Shabai Yatsa Yechonia Begalusai. Okay, so we took care now of the Sharim on the north, on the south. I don't know. Unless he opened up Melech Peretz Keder, maybe he opened up a new Shar to get out. So I can't tell you. All right. Shar Nikonar, now on the east side, we know this. The main entrance into the Ezras Yisrael, moving up the steps from the Ezras Noshim into the Ezras Yisrael, we have this famous Shar Nikonar. I say famous, the Gemara talks a whole story about it, that, you know,
the doors fell into the sea.
Yes, the doors fell into the sea, and it was Meiser Nefesh to save the doors, but Kitzur. And it was a Nisim happened. Now, next to the Shar Nikonar, there were two smaller doors, two smaller openings. They're called Pishpashim. Okay, that those are the smaller ones. Okay. Echav Yiminov, Echav Yismalov. Now, Vishnayim B'marov, there were two small doors in the western wall. V'loi hoyolahen shem. No name was given to them. Zok the Mishnah, Zok the Gemara. Masnisen Abel Yosef ben Yochanan. Our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Abel Yosef ben Yochanan, who says that the 13 Ishtachavois were connected to 13 Sha'arim. That's the Shita. But the Rabbanan have a different Shita. Karabbanan, there were Shiva Sha'arim Hayu. There are only 7 gates in the Azara. Aldas the Rabbanan, Heichan Hoyu Ishtachavos Alola, but everybody agrees there were 13 Ishtachavos. But if according to Rabbanan there are only 7 doorways, so where do you come up with the 13 Ishtachavos? So he says that the Ishtachavos were enacted for a different purpose. Kihide taninim lekamon. It says later on in the Mishnah in Shkalim, it says Yudgilu Protzos Hoyu Boy Shaportsu Malcha Yavan. When the Greeks, you know, now it's learning Chanukah, now it's Kislev already, we can talk Chanukah. The Greek kings, they breached Ufortzu Migdolai. Chomos Migdolai, right? Ufortzu Chomos Migdolai. Ufortzu Chomos Migdolai. We say that in the Mosur. Okay, so the Baal Chayavan had made 13 breaches in the wall, and came along the Bnei Chashmonoi and repaired the breach. The Gozru Kinegdon Yud Gimel Ishtachavoyis to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the ability of the Jews to recapture the temple from the Goyim. Okay, see this now. Okay, now we're finished with that. And we mentioned before that the water will be osid, the Mishnah stated, the water will eventually come from the Miftan Habayis. We're going to a whole story about that based on Psukim in Yecheskel. It says, V'hoya b'yayimahu, yetzu mayim chayim Yerushalayim, toni, mibes kochi kochim, ad haparoiches, from the size of the stream that will trickle from the kochi kochim to the paroiches was kekarne stile v'chile. It means like a snail's a snail's horns. Little horns that come out of a snail, very, very tiny, very, very small. From the Perechas unto the Mizbeach, Kekarne Chagovim. It was like the antenna of the
grasshoppers.
Mizbeach Azov Yad Ahazaros, Uzkechut Shal Shasi. Now, you know, there's a Shasi and the Erev when you weave wool, these different strands of wool. The Shasi was the thinner strand, and the Erev was the thicker one. So he says, from Mizbeach Azov, and so the Azaros, it was Kechut Shal Shasi. Okay. Now, min Azaros ad Niftan Avayis, it was Kechut Shal Erev. Mikan V'Elech, it was Kemipip Hapach. It was big, like the opening of a jar. Okay. Now, see, the Pasuk says, V'hine Mayim Mefachim, min Akosif Hayimonis, from the right shoulder of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, b'tzeis ha'ish kodim, this mi'ish of the malach. The malach is walking with Yecheskel, and he's showing him all the great things that will happen in the future world. You know, Yecheskel has, all his Beis HaMikdash is the future Beis HaMikdash. Not the Baal Sheni. So, the malach is showing him all the great things that are going to be in the future Beis HaMikdash. So this malach is going v'kav v'yadoi, and he has a measuring stick in his hand. V'yimad elef ba'amo, and he counts out 1,000 amas as this stream is moving. V'avireinu v'avireini b'mayim me'afosim at karsula. So already at this point the water becomes a little deeper, and it's up to his ankle. V'yimad elef, he goes another 1,000 amas. V'yavireini b'mayim mei birkayim. Now he's up to his knees. Okay, ad birchayim. That's the touch of birkayim. Then v'yimad elef ba'ama. Then he goes another 1,000 amas, and he comes to mei mosnayim. Ad mosnayim. That means to your hip, the person's hip. Mikan v'yelech. He goes weiter. V'yimad elef. Nachal asher lo yuchal lavaboy. Becomes so wide, so big, a river that a person is unable to pass through it. Afilu lebi ronin gedayla eini yachal lavaboy. Even the big ships cannot transverse that river. My timer, where is the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Vitzi adir lo yaviran." The pasuk in Yehiv, this great ship. See, is a ship. Used to be an Israeli ship line called Sim years ago. I was still around. It's Sim. It's based on this. So, Tzi Adir Lo Yavireno. Mibnei Ma, why can't it go? Ki Go Amayim. Because the water is so high. Now, Mei Socho. What does it mean, water of swimming? Mao Mei Socho. Miloshet, the water is unable to be crossed with by swimming. Loshet means swimming. Tsunami, yeah. Amar Rav Huna, ba'asrin kori lishaita schun schevna, whatever it is, however you want to say it. It means that's swimming. Now it says, uporas yodav. The kirboy kasha yifreis ha soicha lishchais. That means, and Hashem is going to spread out his hand into this water here, just like a swimmer spreads out his hand when he swims. Does the crawl, right? Okay, ma lishchos. Okay, what does it mean, lishchos? Now here we're saying, going to say it's loshen sicha, loshen speech. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Boon, Mayin de Mismalalin Bialma. This water has, one's going to say, has special medicinal characteristics.
Properties,
exactly. And it's going to be so famous, people throughout the world will be talking about it. Bayayimahu, Yeh Mekor Niftach Lebeis David. This water, this big stream, this river, that what comes out, that comes out from the Makar into the Beis David, Liyosh Yishlayim, it'll be living water. That means it'll be Mayim Chaim. Mayim Chaim is what you need for the Paras Chatas, that means for the Paraduma. And it's also good for a Nida. Now, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, B'Shem Yonason, Rav Yonason, he says like this, Mi Beis David V'ad Yoshua Yerushalayim is mostly, it's mostly spring water, that's water of a Mayan. Now you know the difference between water, a very important distinction now. Water of a Mayan is Mitayer even less than Arboim Sof. And even if it's moving, Zeichelin is also good for a Mayon. For a mikveh, it could be rainwater. You don't need living water. But it has to be Ashboirin. It has to be still water. If there's a leak in the mikveh, it's no good. Okay. So now, this is what he's going to say now. Take a look. Now, for mechatos, you must have Mayim Chayim. For a nida, you don't need Mayim Chaim. You can't have Shuvim. As long as it's not Shuvim, it's good. So rainwater is good. So now look at what he's going to say. So again, I'm learning like the Tzadik Chatatin, is what he says. Mi Beis David V'Yad Yoshua Yerushalayim is mostly spring water, so it's K'sherim L'Nido U'Lechatos. But Mikan V'Yelech, but from there on in, it becomes more rainwater. Meitaruvos heim. So therefore, now, but again, it's not running. I'm sorry. I'm going back now. It is running, but still mostly, spring water. It's mixed with rainwater, but it's mostly, again, it's mostly spring water, so therefore it's kosher l'nida. No. According to this, you're going to have to say that it's not moving here. You have to say that. If you say it's kosher l'nida, but it's pasul l'mechatos. So obviously, if it's pasul l'mechatos, it has to be mostly rainwater. Right? Because rainwater is pasul l'mechatos. And still you're saying it's kosher l'nida, so you have to say it's not moving here. Okay. Amar Rabbi Lozer, mi beis David v'ad Yoshua Yerushalayim. He says a little different. He says mi beis David v'ad Yoshua Yerushalayim. Okay, it's mostly spring water. Kisheirim l'nida ulechadas. Mikan v'yelech, it's me katafrisos, which is now mostly rainwater, and it's moving down a hill. It's on a slope, make like a katafris. Is a sloping fall of water. So that's, Katafras is possible for a nida because it's not ashbarin. It's not standing water. And it's rainwater. And of course it's no good for a chadas either. Okay. Pasuk says, Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Hamayim ho'ela, Hayotzim el Hagalila Hakadmoina. This water is going to continue to the eastern side of the Galil. What's that? So it starts off with the Yam Samchu, which they touch today as the Hula Valley. It was one of the earlier areas that they called, that they developed. Hula. I think it's Hula.
Yeah.
And then it says, so this is further up, you know, from the Yam Tveria. The Yeridu El Huarava, then it goes into the plain, that's the Yam Shal Tveria. That's the Kinneret. And then the water continues. Uvo Hayama goes into the sea, that's the Yam HaMelech. El Hayama Hamutzoim. That's, what is that? That is the Yam HaGadol, that's the Mediterranean Sea. So now we get this fancy water coming from the Beis HaMikdash that has medicinal properties to it, and it's meeting up with the water of the Yam HaMelech and the Mediterranean Sea, and what it's going to do? It's going to change the salty water into sweet water.
There's no connection from the Yam
HaMelech. Okay, good question. At one time there was a connection. Don't ask me where it was. At one time there was a connection. Or where there will be a connection. Or there will be a connection.
Yom HaMelech itself has medicinal properties.
Also. Yeah, it does. It does. So, people go there with them for the mud.
Yeah.
In Bokeik, I was there. Yeah. The Lama Nikra Shmai Mutzim Keneged. Oh, now why is it called? Now the water of the Mediterranean is called the Mutzim. Why is it called Mutzim? Because there were two times in history that it took over the land.
It overflowed.
Keneged, I'll just tell you outside. If you look at the map of Europe and North Africa, you see really it was all one continent originally. See, Europe and North Africa was connected. And then what happened was, by the Dar and Ocean, later by the Dar Flogo, the water entered in from the Straits of Gibraltar and flooded the entire area and created the Mediterranean Sea. And that's what he's going to say right now. He says, the Atlantic pushed into water into the basin there. Echad bedor enosh, because the dor enosh has started worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the echad bedor afloga, and that was in the Migdol Bavel. And now he explains. Reb Lazar b'shem Reb Chanina, how far did it go in? He says, "B'rishona yotza ad Calaveria." Calaveria is a near place in southern Italy. That's how far it went. But the second time it entered into that basin, it went further. It went at Kipi Barbaria. Did you ever hear of the Barbary pirates? Barbary coast. That's what he's talking, Barbaria. Rabbi Acha B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, he says, B'Rishoyna Yotza at Kipi Barbaria. That was the first time it went that far. U'B'Shniya Yotza at Akov Yad Yafo. Yafo was the area where they built Tel Aviv. It was right near Yafo. Yeah. Okay, and he says, there's a right from the pasuk who says, "Ad Poi Tavoi V'Loi Soisik." You can go to Poi. Poi means Yafo. "Ad Aku Tavoi V'Loi Soisik." U'Poi Yoshes B'Gaon Galecha, and here you will rest. The grandeur of your waves. Ad Yafoi Oshis Goin Galech. Okay, so now he's going to say like this. It's really, he's going to ask how it works out according to the two shitas that you had. What did we say? We said like this. The Gemara now said like this. Nicha Yama Rabba V'Yama Demilcha. Okay, we're saying something else. We're saying we understand now why the waters, the medicinal property waters, extend to the salty sea, the Dead Sea, and to the
Mediterranean
Sea, to sweeten the waters, to sweeten the waters. The waters of the Mediterranean are salty, and the waters of the Dead Sea are very salty. So in order to make those waters usable, drinkable, what? Yeah. So, but in the Asad Lavo, this big stream that emanates from the Beis HaMikdash and turns into a great river, eventually it's going to meet up with the all those seas, the Mediterranean Sea and the Yam HaMelech, and sweeten all the water.
Have to be a huge river.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. So then he says. But what? That's good. But what about the Yam Tveria? What is it mentioned in the pasuk? It says Yam Tveria, What do you need that one? That, or the Am Samcho? Those are fine. There's nothing wrong with those.
They're not salty.
They're not salty, right? You can actually drink that water there. It's fresh water. So he says. So again. Nicha yama brava v'yama de milcha b'shvil l'miskin to fix it. V'yama de tveria, but the kineret and the samchu. What are you doing there? Answer is the rabba is the gosam. By this new water entering into those areas, you're going to increase the fish. It's going to make it a more habitable place for fish. Dichsivu lamina, lamina tiya, right. The gosam, lamine, okay, lamine mine tiya the gosam. Okay, so there'll be a lot of fish there. Kitzer. Amram Shimon Gamliel. Maise shalachti l'tzidon. I once went to a place called Sidon. That's near the coast of the Sidon in English. V'heviu lefonav yosem misholosh meyos mine dogim betamchoy echod. In one plate, he had 300 different types of fish. Okay? All kinds of herrings and all kinds of, all kinds of fish. Now 300 is always a good menshas. Okay. Then it says, v'nirpu hamayim, v'tseisov uv'gaba'ov. V'lo yirapet, v'lo yirafu, l'malach. So this is a contradiction. In the beginning you say the water has been sweetened, it's been healed. At the end of the pasuk it says, v'lo yirafu, l'malach. L'lo yirafu will not be healed. L'malach nitnu. There will be, these areas will be given for dafka, salty water. Okay. So that's the Gemara's Akasha. See, v'nir pro mayim, it says the waters will be healed. V'yat amra, but yet you say v'lo yirabu, they will not be healed. Lo yirabu mayim. So the Gemara goes over to interesting teretz. It says lo yirabu is not, doesn't mean the waters will not be healed. It means that's the name of a place, lo yirabu. Lo yirabu mayim is makam hu. It's makam. Shema of lo yirabu. Its name is lo yirabu. Okay. Now it says, Ksiva says, V'al ha'anachal yala al sfosoy mizeh u'mizeh. When this stream goes through Eretz Yisrael, on either side of the banks of this stream, of this river, kol eitz machal, there will be beautiful fruit trees, lo yibol or olayhu, the leaf of these trees will not wither, v'lo yitam pirio, and it will never stop giving fruit. L'chadosh of yivaker, it will be giving fruit every month. Ordinarily it takes much longer, but in the Asad Lavoi, they will be giving fruit every month. Tani, Amar Rabbi Yehuda l'fisha ba'olam hazeh tvua oisa l'shisha chadoshim. Tvua ripens in 6 months. V'ilon takes twice as long, oisa l'shnei masa chaydish. But in the future world, hatvua oisa l'chaydish echad, the tvua will be ripened in 1 month. V'ilon oisa l'shnei chadoshim. My timer, because Pasuk says, l'chadoshav yivakir. That means it takes at least two months for the trees to give fruit. We understand the ratio is 2 to 1, so therefore by the tvua it's one month. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yosi l'fisha by the mazet tvua oisa shlishish chadoshim v'ilan oisa v'liyud beis chaydish. Right, it's twice as long. Aval oisa lavoi tvua oisa l'tet. Oh, he says in the future the tvua will ripen in 15 days, tesvav yom. And the tree will ripen in 1 month. Why? Could we find such a thing in the history of this world? Matzino hatvua b'yemei yoyel. In days of yoyel was a great famine. It didn't rain the entire fall and winter, and they were dying basically of starvation. So Hashem made a great nace, and in the Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they started to sow the field. The Navi says, go sow the field. Rosh Chodesh Nissan is and then the season is ended. Go sow the field. Bekitzer, everything grew. It brought rain. He brought rain, the early rain, the late rain. And basically, by the 15th day, it was already to Makrav the Eimer. That's what it was, Bimei Yoyel. Lechamisha Osu Yoyim. Bekarav Mimeno Ho Eimer. My time, the Pasuk says, U'b'nei Tzion Gila V'simcha V'Hashem Elokechem Kinosam Lechem Es HaMoira L'Tztoko. The Moira is the early rain, he gave it to Yotztoka in the Chodesh Nissan. V'yarid Lechem Geshem Moira O'Malkosh Barishim. The Malkosh is the later rain. So yeah, the early rain, the later rain, you had everything. Yeah. Now, that's the case. So what does the, so he understands that the Tvuah it gets done in 15 days, and the tree gets done in 1 month, according to Rabbi Yossi. So how does Rabbi Yossi learn the pasuk where it says, L'chadoshav yevaker, L'chadoshav yevaker. It's mashma 2 months. So he says, no, that doesn't mean 2 months. It means, B'chol chodesh v'chodesh yevaker, L'chadoshav. That means every month, keseder, it will give off fruit. V'alayo l'truva, and its leaves will have a medicinal purpose. Rabbi Yechon Amar, tarpe mates its aleha. He says tarpe means, first of all, it'll be like a food. He learns tarpe lashon tarif, even though tarif is with a tes, and here it's with a tav. He learns it as means food. Okay, but it also has the medicinal. What's the medicinal? Ravish mo machlokes. Chadamar lahatir peh shalamala. That means a person who never could not speak is mute. So this drug will enable him to speak. The chad amar lahater pe shalamata. Because constipation is a problem. This will solve that problem. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, chad amar lahater pe akorois. Woman cannot give birth. Here, this will heal that. The chad amar lahater pe ilman. That's what we said before. Yeah. Now we said, we talked about the gates that were in the southern side. Go back to the base of Mikdash now. Lumasim b'tzafen, opposite that, there were gates in the northern side. Okay, at Moitzi, you find a story like this. B'shosh ola Nebuchadnezzar l'kan, when Nebuchadnezzar came with his army, he was ready to attack, getting preparing to attack the city of Yerushalayim. But he wasn't there yet. He was Antuchia was a great ancient city at Antioch, the old city. So he was his army was camped by the wall of Antuchia. So the Sanhedrin went out to meet him. V'yotzeh Sanhedrin gedoyla likrosoi to meet Nebuchadnezzar. V'amra loy, and the Sanhedrin said to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was not a partial person. They said to him, "Higia zman abayis hazel lichorev. Are you coming now to destroy the base of Mikdash? Is it the zman now?" They knew that the base of Mikdash was going to be destroyed. Nobody was saying it all along. So this looks like it's it. Is this what you're going to do? Amar lahen. So he said to them, "No. Oisei shehim lachti aleichem." I gave you a king, that was Yechonya, Yochin. I gave you a king, and this king was not behaving or whatever it was. Tenei Li, I want the king. I'll take the king, and then I'll go home. I'm not gonna bother you. Tenei Li, ani hoilich, and then I'll go. So, bo, v'yomer lo, Yochin, melech Yehuda. So they come to Yochin, the king of Yehuda. And they said, Nebuchadnezzar, boiloch. Nebuchadnezzar needs you. Oh, kivin sheshama mehen kach. So he heard already that it's bad news. So what did he do? He took the maftechas shel beis hamikdash. He took the keys of the beis hamikdash. All of the gagol shel hechel. He went up to the roof of the hechel. Amar lefan of ribbono shel olam. Lichesh avar hayinu nemonim loch. In the past, we were very faithful to you. And your keys were entrusted with us. Now that we're no longer faithful to you, It seems so. Hare miftechoisecha mesurim loch. So the keys are now given back to you, and we have a machlokes amaroyim. What happened there? Trey amaroyim. Chadamar zarkan v'oid lo yordu. One my number says that he threw the keys up to the... By the way, the Bavli has a little different story with the Kahanim throwing up the keys. Okay, so he throws up the keys, and they never came down. According to one sheet, they just kept going up. And the Chadamar... Bo kmin yad v'not lost it, like a hand came out of the Shemayim and grabbed it.
Of course, the second one was more spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, it was right. Kivin shero kol choyre Yehuda, all the noblemen of Yehuda saw what was happening. Olu. They saw that miraculously that the Beis Hamikdash was going to be destroyed, and I guess they were so overwhelmed with grief, the only way I could say it, that they literally committed suicide. Or they basically fell. V'naflu umesu. Hodohu dechziv, and this, we're going to stop at the Mishnah. And this is what the Pasuk says. It says in the Navi, Chazoyin gei Masa gei Chazoyin Malach Eifo Kiyolisa Kulach Legagois. This is a prophecy about the valley of Yerushalayim, right? What has happened? You are now ascended to the rooftops, right? You have been a city of tumultuous city, you know, a very exuberant city. And now, Nebuch people are slain. Let me just say, I don't want to end with a bad thing. I'll just say, Yud Gimel Shulchan HaKoyev HaMikdash.